additional qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendance and caregiver with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellyServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 101.1.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. 2000 Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Glory to God. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the Word of the Lord. You turn them to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. We want to look at verse 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 22. And it says very simply, "For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, getting stronger day by day. Getting stronger day by day. If you will note, brothers and sisters, David here is experiencing some serious problems in the context of the verse. We see Saul is pursuing David with the intention of having him killed. David is forced to flee from Saul and hide out wherever possible. And things were really looking dark and bleak for David. The promise given him by Samuel that God would make him king seemed doomed because of his circumstances. But our verse says that a great host, like the host of God, and it helped David. Listen to this, become king. And it helped him to become king because God made a promise to him. And God, who promises, is faithful to back up what he said. Look, if you will, in the 11th chapter of Chronicles, verse 1 of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, 11, verse 1. The word says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest us and broughtest us in Israel in the land. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel." Now keep this in mind and understand this. The power spiritually had changed hands as it's related to God's promise to David that he would be a king. And so while spiritually Saul was no longer the king, yet physically he still held the seat of king, he was trying to destroy David so that the prophecy that David would become the next king would not be fulfilled. David, however, being a child of God, having had experience with war and those things that came against the will of God, had known of Saul's pursuit in the cause of having him killed so that his reign would continue on and David's would never come to pass. But how many of you know, my brothers and sisters, if you just trust God, if you just believe God, it might not seem like things are going to work out. It might be a situation where it seems nearly impossible that things are going to happen the way God said they're going to happen. But what you've got to realize is, if God promised, it's up to God to provide. One of the things that we should learn as people of faith is that God's word is real. Not only is his word real, but his word is relevant. And not only is it relevant, but it is reassuring. And when we come to that first place where we first realize that it's real, then it means then that everything that comes against it doesn't stand a chance. When we realize that his word is relevant, it means just as he was with those of days past and gone, so is he with those who have been promised by the word of God that God will do us, and so is he with them of this day and time, and for those who shall come after us, the promises he makes to them, he is real to them just as he is to us, as he was to those before us. It is relevant, and it is reassuring because, again, God is not a man that he should lie. So understand this. One of the things about God's choosing is he doesn't have to check with anybody whenever he decides to make an appointment or give an assignment. You don't have to be the best qualified. You don't have to be the most educated. You don't have to have the greatest gifts. If God chooses you above anyone else, I got news for you. That's all it takes. If God says you are, then you are, regardless of who says you are. David here is now faced with the decision of following God and believing God, but yet it seems dark and dismal as to the reality of him who has now been anointed king coming to pass as king. He must make the decision to say, it doesn't matter how it looks, it doesn't matter how it feels, it doesn't matter what is being said. God has ordained and God has appointed me as king, and I shall be king according to the word of God. Now look at this, because I want you to see this. As you walk through the 11th chapter and you see all of these different things that interplay in these verses, you'll see how David captures, beginning in verse 4, going on to verse 9, Jerusalem, and then how David has some mighty men with him already, and then they're dealing with all sort of other intervals and issues as you walk through, again, the 11th chapter. But then when you get to verse 26, they begin to share with you some of David's talent men, those great men, those men who are used to warring, and those who are with him. And then you go on to the 12th chapter, and then you see the others who join David in this battle to overthrow Saul and to receive what God has for David and to place him as king. And as you walk through these verses, you begin to see how little bit, how day by day, by day after day, David gets stronger and stronger and stronger after he is anointed and appointed as king, that God sends him the help he needs to fulfill the calling on his life. One of the things I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, because David starts off dealing with his problems. When God calls you and he assigns you, when God gives you a task and assigns a task or responsibility to you, what you've got to realize is God also has to provide the ability, God also has to provide the resources. God also has to provide everything necessary for you to be successful in what he has called you to do. That's one of the things that you ought to be confident in when you have a call of God on your life. You didn't call you, God did. You knew you were unworthy. You knew that you were ill-prepared. You knew you didn't have all things sufficient, and yet God still called you. He called you because he's capable of equipping you and making you able to do what it is he has assigned unto your life. That's why it's important to recognize the call of God on your life and realize that it's not all about you. God chose you as a vessel and or a vehicle to place his valuables in you, but it is God's responsibility to get you ready to do what he's called you to do. When you understand that, then you don't have to worry so much about the issues and about those who are against you, because God himself is under warrant to serve, fortify you for the journey that is ahead of you. Listen again, because I want you to see some things in this upcoming year. God has assigned some things to you. God has given certain things to your charge. God has elevated and promoted some of you. God is taking you to another place. And you might see in and of yourself that you are insufficient. You have this assignment. Maybe this promotion has not been properly assigned. But what you've got to know is, if God is in charge, all things shall work out well. If God has said it, it doesn't matter who is against it. If God honors you, then God will honor you throughout that assignment he has given to you to do for his glory and for your good. Look again at the problem we see, because this is not only typical of what David deals with, but it's typical of what believers deal with when they are challenged to take life to another level, to live life on another stage and do things that they are not accustomed to doing. One of the things that I need you to see is God wants to solve our problems, but we want God to solve our problems all at once. I said, God wants to solve our problems. He said, cast the cares upon him because he cares for you. God wants to solve your problems, but what you must recognize is that God will not most times solve them all at one time. And when you begin to realize that, we want the last part of the verse where David has this great host with him as of the host of God, the people of God, the power of God, all of this of God with him immediately. God knows that if he gave you everything sufficient to answer your problem immediately, then it wouldn't be a faith walk with him. So one of the things that you will recognize, and if you ever take your eyes off of your problems and put them on your problem solver, you will discover that day by day, he is working your problem out. The fact, listen at this, that your problem didn't take you out of here. And the fact that you wake up another day and the problem is still there, but you are still there also. And the fact that the problem loses its grip on you and its hold on you and the depression on you and the oppression on you, every day that passes by says that God is working your problem out day by day. We got to come to the point where we begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Because here's what you need to realize. If God promised, he is faithful who promised. If God, unlike you and me, is faithful to back up what he said, what you got to realize is, if it has not been answered in totality today, if you look a little closer, you'll see it's a little better today than it was yesterday. You will see that he's giving you insight. You will see that he's giving you strength. You'll see that he's adding your portion to that that makes it a successful venture day by day. Adds more contacts, adds more resources, adds more ability, adds more strength, adds more patience, adds more power. He adds daily to what you need to make it through another day. Why am I saying this to you and share this with you? Because some of you here, my brothers and sisters, God is going to assign some things to you that you have never experienced, bring you into places you never dreamed, open doors for you something you never could have imagined, and you're going to wonder if God made a mistake. And not only will you wonder that, but other folk who hear about it are going to wonder if God made a mistake. But what I want you to know is God don't make mistakes.
That's right.
And see, the more unlikely candidate you are, the more glory God gets for placing you in that situation. Isn't David, of all of his brothers, was the most unlikely candidate to be king. He was not suited in man's sight to be king like his other brawny brothers were. David was just David was what you would call in today's society a pretty boy. He wasn't big and muscular and brownie like his brothers. He was not a man dealing with war, used to war, etc. He was used to keeping sheep. He was tender. He was of a small frame. David was not the man that you look up to and say, oh man, this man is king. He was not tall in stature and big like his brothers were. He was not the kind of man that folk would say would be the king. But aren't you glad that God don't look at the outside like man does and judge you by the external, but rather by the internal? David proved that he had more heart than all of his brothers put together. David proved that though he was small, some big things were a part of his life. David proved that though he was a little piece of leather, he was well put together. David proved that what you saw, don't let it fool you, he was more than what met the eye. And so David proved in God's sight to be the worthy man to be the king of Israel, not because of his external abilities and his external stature, but because of that was underneath the skin. And so David dealt with this and through it and began to understand the process. Day by day represents a process. Somebody say process. I got news for you. It's amazing how your problems can come in one day, but it may take a month, a week, or a year, or years to process out of them. It's amazing how you can say one bad thing and pay for it for the rest of your life. It's a process. It's a process because God wants us to recognize that faith is a daily walk. That the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's a constant step-by-step experience. So not only does that work with your problems that way, but you're going to experience the fact that your prayers should be a day-by-day reality as well. You talk with God. You might request something from God one day, and that may be necessary for just that day. But when you pray, when you communicate, when you fellowship with God, when you are in intimate oneness with God, that requires you doing that on a daily basis. How do you think you get closer to God? Not just by reading his word, but by communicating with him day by day. You know, I'm amazed at folk who join church, who come into Christ, in the body of Christ, and when they first come in, they don't know anything. They're afraid to pray. They're afraid to stand up many times and say anything about the Lord. But then they start studying the word, and they start praying, and they get with others who know God and know the word and fellowship with them. And those who couldn't pray when they started, as they continued on, and they might have started off saying the Lord's Prayer, but as they grew stronger day by day, they added a little more to the Lord's Prayer. And then as they continued on, they started realizing that the Lord's Prayer was just a model. And once you get past understanding that it's just set up to include some things in your prayer, then you begin to customize your prayers. And when you get to the place of customization of prayer, it means then your prayers should be daily and they should be different. Because every day is different. And every time you pray, you ought to have something different. I wish I had somebody here. When you get to that point where your prayer life is reflective of your walk with God, if it is reflective of your communication with God, you're going to realize that though there are some things you say every day, there are also some things that are new every day that you say, and every time you communicate with him, because life is ever evolving. And And as it is revolving and evolving, you will discover that as it goes round and you discover another situation, you will have something different to tell God. That's why prayer ought to be as fresh and as new as the moment is. I said prayer ought to be fresh and new as the moment is. Now, there's nothing wrong with a model prayer, but I got news for you. A model prayer don't cover everything. You don't believe me? When you come down here to pray over the offering, that ought to be a different prayer than when you go to the hospital to pray for the sick. It ought to be a different prayer when you wake up in the morning, a different prayer in the middle of the day, or whenever it is you meet with God, a different prayer when you close your eyes at night. All of that ought to be different. Why ought it be different? Because the moment is different. The assignment is different. The appointment is different. And the anointing is different. When you miss God in the ability to pray and communicate day by day, you miss your ability to grow stronger in communing and communing with Him. You miss your ability to get closer to God that God wants. See, listen, God is already as close to you as He can be. The question is, how close can you stand to be to Him? See, God already knows all there is to know about you. He can't know another thing about you that He doesn't already know. But every day in communication with God, you'll discover God shows you different things. Jeremiah 33:3 tells you that. He says, if you call me up, I'll talk to you. And I'll show you some great and mighty things, things you don't even know about. But some of us don't even have sense enough to call Him up and check it out. Don't even call Him up and see, God, what is it that you have in this day for me? We have blessings pass us by day because we didn't call God up to check and find out what He wanted to tell us, what He wanted to show us, what He wanted to reveal to us. And see, when you don't communicate with God and you don't pray and spend time with God, there are some valuable things that God is going to share with you about this day that would have helped you to negotiate this day, would have helped you to walk in this day in victory and in success. But you didn't take the time out to call Him up and say, God, what is it going to be like today? Many of us will open the newspaper, many of us will turn on the television, find out what the weather is going to be, but we don't have sense enough to get on our knees and call God up and say, God, what's happening in your world today? And so as a result, we walk into ambushments. We deal with backstabbing and backbiting, and we find ourselves encircled with enemies, and we think they're friends. We find ourselves in a place, and see, Jesus knew every situation. Jesus said, did not I choose you 12, and one of you is a devil? I know who I'm dealing with. I'm just letting you think I don't. That was nothing that ever happened to Him that He didn't deal with, that He was not aware of, that He was not on top of. But He was in control of the things in the spirit realm. And therefore, everything that happened in the natural realm was already controlled first by the spirit realm. See, what I'm trying to tell you is some things God will show you. He'll still let it happen, but He won't let it freak you out. He'll still let it go through, but He won't let you be caught with your guards down. He'll still let some things happen, but He would have given you a pre-warning so you would have been ready for it when it happened. See, what I'm trying to tell you is when you learn how to communicate with God, you will see and discover that God knows how to add to you day by day what it takes to strengthen you for the journey. David was connected to the cause. And being connected to the cause, God provided every single provision necessary so that the cause would be successful. If you surrender to the cause God has for your life, God's going to add to you daily, day by day, what is necessary. So David deals with the problems day by day. But with the problems, he combats that with prayer day by day. And day by day, he continues his pursuit on a progressive order, processing day by day and watching God bring to pass what He said. Now, get this picture in your mind as I bring this to a close. God has anointed and appointed David king, and he has got this assignment clear in the spirit realm. And there are those who have heard from God. The man of God has already made it clear. They've gone through the ceremony. Now it's about bringing it to pass. Now David looks and realizes at this point, Saul could still find him and kill him. He doesn't have enough men around him to protect him. He doesn't have enough men to win this battle. He doesn't have enough men to do what God has promised him he would be able to do. But he believed God. In the face of opposition, in the face of difficulty, in the face of dire straits, he believed God. And I want you to go back to this word because I want you to see something again. Because the word says, at that time, day by day, at that time, at what time? At the time that David needed to know and be assured that God was with him, day by day, God began to send help and strength and support, and he began with the men that David knew, and it continued to increase that circle of contact and increase that circle of contact until others who heard about David's cause came and joined themselves with his cause, because God touched their hearts to join with David so that God's will would be brought to pass in the earth realm. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes God gives you an assignment so big you can't do it by yourself. But what you will recognize is he will send the people to help you to accomplish what it is he has assigned for you to do, again for his glory and for your good. Now listen at this, because I want you to see again. The word says, for at that time, day by day, there came to David. And for what purpose did they come to David? To help. You got to know, brothers and sisters, that everybody that come to you don't come to you to help you. You got to be careful about some folk, but when you got your faith right, and when you got your focus right, and when you got your fight right, God will send the people necessary to help you gain victory. Listen at this. Listen at this. They came to help him until it was a great host like the host of God. In other words, David looked up, and if you start reading verse 23, you'll see how these men started coming and how they started coming in great numbers. One group, 6,800, started coming down from one area, and then they kept on coming. 50,000, 12,000, 9,000, 120,000, until before you know it, in verse 38, he had over 337,000 men, not including the 200 leaders who brought men with them. And so he had enough folks to be on his side to give him the confidence that day by day, God will give you what you need to become successful in the thing that he's called your life to do. I'm just trying to encourage somebody. I'm trying to get somebody ready, because God is about to reveal it to you. I've got something great for you. And you're going to be like, Lord, how can I do it? He's going to say, you can't, but I got some help on the way. It's bigger than you. I've got to give you more than yourself. And God's going to do that.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to train each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.